Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest and greatest in nerdy news and trending nerd topics. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, or even sometimes crude. You have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody?
Hi.
Hi, Christian. Hope everybody's having a good week, because, you know, the Nerdy Boys have. Christian, how are you doing?
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. You're right. It is Sunday. And what Sunday means, it is time for the Sunday Nerdy News segment.
We didn't podcast Friday because we did something else.
Yeah. Oh, so what did we do? You might be thinking. We went to an awesome concert.
Yeah, and I didn't. Scott's going to tell you I almost killed us, but I didn't.
Right.
I didn't.
So, you know, we did our weekly adventures. I mean, this is pretty standard, right? We're always at Texas Roadhouse. That's our favorite place to eat. Everybody there knows us because, you know, we're famous. So,
that's why.
Yeah. So it's been raining a lot in Sacramento, California, and hailing, and been crazy weather conditions. Crazy weather conditions comes insane driving people, and apparently Christian has lost his fucking mind lately and has been trying to kill me because this asshole pulled out it's like a stop sign and he's like trying to turn left onto the street, and like there's like, you know, it's like a really busy street, it's really hard to turn left there.
Yeah, there's like two lanes to like with traffic going, you know, one way, and then I have to get to the three lanes on the other side with traffic going the other way,
right? And Christian decides, you know, he's getting impatient. I don't know what's going on with him lately.
Okay.
He's been like an insane, angry drive. I'm usually the irrational, like road rage person, you know, but Christian lately has been just going complete acca. So I'm just saying, this guy pulled out and almost got fucking sideswiped in his little mini fucking toy car of his and would have probably exploded on impact.
Okay.
And killed us both, and we wouldn't have been able to podcast for you guys anymore.
Here's the thing, right? The person in front of me waited so long to turn, it was obnoxious. Like, they had so many opportunities, and then they finally go, and the car coming towards me is going, like, 5 miles an hour, and I'm just like, all right, that's fucking cool. And so I'm waiting for them to pass so I can go, because nobody's coming. When they finally fucking pass, there's a car right behind them going fucking 50, and I'm just like, all
right,
well, fuck,
you gotta read your audience. You gotta read your audience,
you know,
right?
And you know, Scott's the one always saying, dude, when the light turns yellow, you don't have to slam on your brakes. Even though I don't, I just start slowing down and stopping, and he just fucking keeps going, and I'm just like, all right. And then when I do that, he looks up, and he's like, that light was red, dude. What are you doing?
So, all right, I'm texting, right? And I'm looking down at my phone, obviously, and I look up, and all of a sudden, I just see a red light that we're going through, and I was just like, dude, did you just fucking run that red light? Like, I mean, I'm confused. I don't know what's happening anymore.
You know, it's,
Christian, are you having a midlife crisis, mate?
Maybe. I mean, it's just the stress, you know, of these fucking kids on their fucking bikes all the time in the middle of the fucking road in our apartments. And then people who can't drive, and they're just like, it's raining. I fucking have to drive so fucking slow that fucking nobody can go anywhere. I'm just like, come on, dude. Yeah. Just fucking go. I'm trying to make it to this concert because we need to see Diversity of One and all their awesomeness, and then the fucking shit band after them. You know, we didn't really need to sit through that, but, you know, then we got to see Lucid, and they were fucking cool too. So fuck off.
Yeah, so we went to a bar / a concert venue called Holy Diver. It's in downtown Sacramento. I think on like P and like 21st or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
It's on 21st between P and O, closer to P.
Okay, sure. All right. So yeah, I mean, we go there because, you know, my good friend / like big bro kind of situation, Jamie's a baby. He's in a band, right? It's called D1, Diversity of One. And they're awesome. You guys should check out their music on iTunes, or I'm sure they're on a lot of, I know for sure they're on like SoundCloud, and they're on YouTube, and yeah. I don't know if they're on Google Music Play Store, but I'm pretty sure they are. Go check them out. Diversity of One.
All their music is on iTunes, and I'll provide
that's what
a
I
link
said
in our description of this podcast if you want to check them out.
Yeah, yeah, you guys should definitely check them out. They got the good blend of music going on there. So yeah, they're the opening act of the concert, and they were fucking epic. They're rocking the house, bringing all the energies, and it was just, man, it was an amazing show. Like Christian said, the band afterwards, you know, they're quite shit. I don't know. They got a particular sound that, you know, the best way to describe it is it's like a mixture of like kind of like has a jazz and like trance feel to it. I feel like you got to be high on LSD in order to be listening to that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or like
to be honest, the music itself, you know, like wasn't bad. Like it's like imagine just listening to kind of like, you know, trance jazz, which is fine, you know, musical stylings. But while you're listening to it, someone is hitting a cat against a wall over and over. That's what their music
the singer
was
wasn't
like.
Bad, right? It's just, oh no,
it didn't suit the music. Yeah. And she like was trying really hard, and like maybe like she was like full of confidence, you know, but like it was just like piercing, and then she'd add this reverb echo effect that made it worse, and their songs were about like watching laundry spin and stuff, and I'm
yeah
just, like,
I wasn't sure, like, no. Literally one of the songs that they did, it was called Spin Cycle, and some of the lyrics were like, give me 5 more minutes, it's on the spin cycle, there's something about fabric softener in there, and I was just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm sure there's some deeper meaning to those very, very interesting lyrics, to say the least.
Yeah,
but something I'll never understand. But then, so we didn't stay for the whole concert because, you know, I'm fat, right? So my knees and like my like feet started hurting. I was just like, because like I've had this like ankle problem for like the past like week and a half, 2 weeks, where like I don't know what I did, honestly. Like I just woke up one day and my ankle was like fucking just hurting and like just swollen, and like it feels like I sprained it, but I didn't do anything to it. Like, I was just confused. I was just, I don't know. But yeah, that started acting up, and like my left foot was hurting pretty bad, and you know, we're just kind of getting tired. So I think there was only one band left, like the headliner or whatever.
Yeah, Arden Park Roots. They're a big band around here, so.
But we stayed to watch this band called Lucid. Should also check out their music. It is good. I really, really enjoyed that band. But yeah, the main point of this is you guys should go check out our friend's band, Diversity of One. They're going on tour soon, and their new album, DNA, just came out not that long ago. So make sure you guys check out both of their albums out. Yeah,
and if you go to one of their shows, they have, like, a specialty version of the album where, like, if you buy it, they help, like, send stuff to support the troops. So
yeah.
That's cool, too. But, yeah, that was fun. So, yeah, just check out Diversity of One. They're cool dudes.
Yes. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, you got this, like, cool, like, book. Yesterday.
Yeah, I got a book and a guitar. And so we went to Barnes & Noble in Arden, which, yeah, if you know anything about Arden, it's not a great place to be. But we went to Barnes & Noble, and they had on sale even this Art of Tolkien coloring book, like an adult coloring book. And I fucking love Tolkien, and I love like the art of Middle Earth and stuff. And so I obviously fucking swiped that up as fast as possible. And I'll probably be coloring that in. And, like, it's cool because, like, I want to get a bunch of, like, Tolkien, like, art style tattoos as well. So I'm, like, going to find inspiration in there and everything. It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty grande. What was I going to say? Oh, so, yeah. I mean, we are not just, like, comic book or, like, TV and movie show nerds. We're also book nerds. We love to read and stuff. And I'm always looking for great new books to read and stuff. So if you guys have any, like, recommendations, like, primarily under, like, the fantasy sort of genre. I'm also very much into, like, mythology and stuff. So if you know any good, like, fictional, like, mythology books that I could read, you know, send us some suggestions.
Yeah.
Or send me some suggestions. You know, there's a few books that I... kind of found, and but like I wanted to kind of like price check them like through Amazon and stuff, and most of them I could have just got cheaper through Amazon, so I was just like, oh, whatever, I'll just buy
which
them.
Is pretty sad, you know. Yeah. Like that's why books like Borders has gone out of business largely and stuff is just they can't really compete. Like when you can buy mass market paperback and stuff for like $4 and their books are like 15, like
right,
it just makes no sense, like, unfortunately. So
yeah, and you know, I'm not a man of great means, so it's like I gotta shop a little bit smarter.
But here's what you do, guys, because of Amazon, big businesses like Barnes and Noble, Borders are going to go out of business, which also means the best places to get books aside from Amazon are used bookstores. So it's a perfect opportunity, business idea, open a used bookstore, because there will be a lot of used books out there that need homes that you can sell for cheaper than Amazon that you can't find anywhere else.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
I'm sure not first, but well, you know, it's okay. Know,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't think we really got anything else to catch you guys up on in the lives of the Nerdy Boys. So we're going to get into the news.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studios. Christian, back to you.
All right, brilliant. First bit of news. Disney to help open STEM Center in Oakland after Black Panther's success. What? Black Panther was successful? Nobody knew that was going to happen. Oh, my God. Following the record-breaking success of Marvel Studios' Black Panther and given the touching final scene of the movie, the Walt Disney Company has announced they're donating $1 million with an M, million, to the Boys and Club, Boys and Girls Club of America to help expand BGCA's youth STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math programs, which will include a STEM center of innovation to be established in Oakland, California. Marvel Studios' Black Panther is a masterpiece of movie-making and has become an instant cultural phenomenon, sparking discussion, inspiring people young and old, and breaking down age and industry myths, said Bob Iger, chairman and chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company. It is thrilling to see how inspired young audiences were by the spectacular technology in this film, so it's fitting that we show our appreciation by helping advance STEM programs for youth, especially in underserved areas of the country, to give them knowledge and tools to rebuild the future they want. Boys and Girls Clubs of America will use the one-time grant to further develop existing national STEM curriculum and also establish new STEM centers of innovation in Atlanta, Georgia, Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, Harlem, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Memphis, Tennessee, New Orleans, Louisiana, Orlando, Florida, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., Watts, California, and most notably, Oakland, California. Boys and Girls Club of America centers of innovation provide youth with hands-on advanced technologies that stimulate creative approaches to STEM exploration, including 3D printers, robotics, high-definition video production, and conferencing equipment. In addition, a fully dedicated STEM expert will offer individual and group support using real-world applications to help club members develop their STEM skills and critical thinking. Who said this? Jim Clark, president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of America, said, "From hands-on interactive programs to critical thinking, Boys and Girls Club of America is committed to providing thousands of young people with tools, with the tools they need to prepare them for a great future." He continued, "Thanks to Disney's support, we can expand our outreach and allow more youth to find their passions and discover STEM careers." So that's amazing.
That is amazing. I think everybody should stop and, you know, just this is honestly just an amazing thing to do. The only thing I would say, right? And I know, right? You know, $1 million is a lot of money, but like you also think that they're being split between all these different locations, right?
Well, that's what they're going to use it for.
Right.
But, yeah, I think
it's like, yeah, $1 million is a lot, but they could do a little bit more.
They could. I think.
I hate to say something like negative like that on like such a great idea and like such a great action to give back to the community, especially in, you know, an area that really does need help. You know, our school systems, our educational systems are an absolute joke in the United States, and the underprivileged communities really suffer the most in those sort of areas. And maybe it shouldn't just be, you know, Disney giving back. You know, other companies should look into, you know, donating some money. These are just like really good, like charitable things. So a lot of people give away to like charities and stuff, but it's like these are ones that matter.
Right. And you know, I think what maybe inspired it more than anything was like the final scene in Black Panther where, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, they opened a science and technology and research center in Oakland for the underprivileged kids there at the end of the movie. So,
right.
Like, that's pretty much what they're doing in real life now is they're doing this thing for the Boys and Girls Club of America. And I think it's great, and hopefully it helps people. And maybe we can all do more to help people, you know?
Right. Maybe I said it wrong. I don't know. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess I said it wrong. What I kind of really hope is saying, because you know in the article it says it's a one-time grant. I hope it's not just a one-time thing. I hope they annually continue to give to the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, I'd be interested in, like, kind of looking a little bit more into, like, the Boys and Girls Club and see kind of, like, what they do and how they operate and things like that.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'm a very skeptical person when it comes to charities and things like that. Like, I'm like the kind of person that's like, if I donated something, it would only be to a thing that I've done thorough research and like I know where exactly the money goes and stuff like that.
Right. And you know, I understand like the thinking that, well, why did it take, you know, Black Panther to lead to you wanting to donate, you know? Like, why weren't you doing this before? And maybe they have. Maybe Disney's given hundreds of millions of dollars to other organizations and done things to help. And I'm sure they have. But, you know, it shouldn't take this movie to do something like that. But we should be grateful that this movie exists and has inspired, you know, this to happen as well. So, give and take, obviously.
Obviously. So, in some of our Marvel news, Captain Marvel adds Gemma Chan as Kree villain Min Evera. Deadline reports that Marvel Studios will have no shortage of Kree characters in the upcoming Captain Marvel movie, with the addition of Gemma Chan from Humans, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Transformers The Last Knight. Chan takes on the role of Kree spy and geneticist Min Evera, who takes on the human alias of Dr. Min Evera. When she infiltrates humanity, the character has similar powers to Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, which she has used to fight both versions of the title hero. She will join a cast that includes Brie Larson as the title hero, along with Samuel L. Jackson as a younger and two-eyed version of Nick Fury, with DaWanda Wise from She's Gotta Have It, and I don't know how to say that name.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Okay. Ben Mendelsohn from Rogue One and Ready Player One. And Jude Law from Sherlock Holmes. The film will be a period a period piece for Marvel Studios that takes place in the early 1990s with Skrulls as the primary villains.
Yeah. So, sure. I mean, Minerva's like an interesting character, I guess, but we'll have to see what happens. I mean, you know, fucking who cares?
I'm so excited. I'm really excited for Captain Marvel. I think it's going to be a brilliant film.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah, I think it will be too. So, speaking of Marvel films, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, you know, that's a thing. I actually saw this happen live on Twitter while I was scrolling through tweets. But yeah, Mark Hamill and James Gunn have a Twitter exchange that hints at a Guardians 3 role. So after reprising his role as Luke Skywalker in Star Wars The Last Jedi, Mark Hamill may appear in another monstrous franchise if the coffee is right. When Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn was asked by a fan on Twitter to provide a role for Hamill in the upcoming third volume of the franchise, his response prompted a delightful exchange between the two talents. Gunn revealed that he is actually neighbors with Hamill in Malibu and invited him to, quote, come over so they can talk about it over a cup of coffee. The legendary voice of the Joker ultimately chimed in, stating the following and causing legions of fans to shudder with excitement. He pretty much said, you know, he'll come over. Hamill then asked Gunn to direct message him if serious. The director agreed, and the final tweet in the exchange is Hamill following Gunn back with which enables glorious DMing between both bodies. Whether this conversation leads to actual serious discussions on Hamill appearing in the upcoming Guardians 3 is certainly up in the air. There definitely is a possibility, however, that since the latest installment isn't set for the release until 2020, Gunn may be able to incorporate Hamill in some kind of role. If Sylvester Stallone can appear in Volume 2, I remain hopeful that there is somebody in that universe that requires the talents of Mark Hamill to portray them. Yeah, pretty much Mark Hamill said something to the effect of, you know, I'm an unemployed actor or something right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so.
I mean, why not? Why not? Mark Hamill is a wildly talented actor, no doubt about it. I mean, his body of work speaks for itself, you know, from building the Star Wars franchise to voicing the Joker, being on The Flash, and many other roles that I'm sure he's been in that I probably can't tell you about. But he's so talented. There has to be a place for him in the Marvel Universe. I think it's a brilliant idea. I would love for this to happen. I mean, he already, you know, does Star Wars, so it's, you know, both companies owned by Disney, so I'm sure it wouldn't be hard for them for that company to persuade him into doing some work for them in the MCU somewhere. You know, whether it's a tailor-made character, you know, new, like a new invented character, or if it's somebody that's already in the comic books, who knows? I would love to see Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
that is
definitely
for sure. I think he is so talented.
Yeah.
So in other Marvel news, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. showrunner are ready if the season 5 finale is the series finale. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. showrunner Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancherian are ready for the final episode of season 5 to be either the season or the season finale. According to TV Line, Whedon and Tancherian told the site that they're in the process of writing the episode right now and that they're ready to continue on after season 5 or let this be the series send off. Whedon said, yeah, we're ready for this to be the end. We're definitely going to make it rewarding either way. He continued on to say, we can certainly pivot and there is a certain things that we're putting in that at the last minute could be adjusted, but we know at the end we're not moving off that mark. We're going to do what we are planning to do, and I think that it will be thrilling either way. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will air its 100th episode on Friday, March 9th, and it is reportedly going to be a big one. Whedon said, I think that nothing will be the same after episode 100, so that, I guess, is the definition of a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this already when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got moved to Friday. We're like, it's the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
nobody's watching it.
I don't know if nobody's watching it, but it's hard to get a lot of viewership on a Friday, you know? So I think that's what's going to do it. I think season 4 ended very strongly, and I haven't watched any of season 5 yet, but it sounds like it's been good for the most part. But because it's on a Friday night, I think that's what's going to end. That's where shows go to die. That's where Constantine went to die. That's where Firefly went to die. It's gonna die there, I think, and that's unfortunate. I think it could continue on, but this will probably be the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think it will be the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just think that they suffered from a lack of creative ideas and directions to go with the show. I think, like, once you kind of got to the conclusion of like when Daisy like turns into the Inhuman at that point, I feel like from that point on, they kind of struggled a little bit. Like, it was cool seeing like the development of Quake and everything, but like a lot of the ideas and like villains that they used were just pretty subpar. And I don't know, I guess it's just like creatively, like that whole arc up until she actually became Quake was like very interesting. But then like at that point it was like, meh, like it was very hit or miss on the episodes. Like, most episodes were kind of bad and flat, and then when you have a show like that, the next logical step is just move it to Friday and then let it die out.
Maybe I mean, I think like it, because of what they did in season 4, like they set it up to do something very interesting and then it got moved, and like I think that's why it'll fail ultimately, is because it got moved. And maybe it is cyclical, maybe, you know, it was already doing badly, so that's why they moved it to Friday. I don't know. But anyway, The Punisher Season 2 adds 3 new faces. Daniel, I hope you're listening because I know you like John Bernthal and want to suck his dick. So, Marvel Entertainment has hired 3 new actors for the upcoming season of Netflix's The Punisher. The series will welcome Josh Stewart, who is from Shooter, Floriana Lima from Supergirl, she plays Maggie, and Georgia Wiggum from Scream to the Netflix MCU, appearing alongside lead John Bernthal. Josh Stewart has been cast as John Pilgrim, a man whose calm exterior belies a ruthless interior. Despite having left behind a life of violence, circumstances will force him to use his old skills and bring him into Frank Castle's world. Floriana Lima will play the role of Krista Dumont, a smart, compassionate, and driven psychotherapist for military veterans. And Georgia Wiggum has been locked to play Amy Bendix, a street-smart grifter with a mysterious past. Jeff Loeb, executive producer and head of Marvel Television, said, "Josh, Floriana, and Georgia are all remarkable talents, and we can't wait for the audience to see what do we have in store for them in the second season of Marvel's The Punisher. We are incredibly excited to have Josh, Floriana, and Georgia joining the cast of Marvel's The Punisher and seeing them bring their talents to the next chapter in the Frank Castle story," added Steve Lightfoot, showrunner and executive producer. Stewart, Lima, and Wiggum will join returning cast members John Bernthal as Frank Castle, Ben Barnes as Billy Russo, Amber Rose Reva as Dinah Madani, and Jason R. Moore as Curtis Hoyle.
Cool.
Yeah, so that should be, interesting. I mean, there's, not a lot of detail there, to be honest. So we'll just have to wait for season 2 to jizz in our pants.
Right? Season 1 was so good. Can't wait for season 2 to come out. Sure, it's probably a pretty far off project at the moment, but yeah. Fox developing Silver Surfer movie plus X-Men movies update, with the potential merger of Disney and 20th Century Fox lingering in the background. Many fans have wondered what the studios will be doing with the Marvel properties before their potential return to the House of Ideas. The Hollywood Reporter has several revelations in a new report that indicates that not only is the studio not slowing down on their Marvel properties, but they're developing more projects now than ever in the past. First up, to pair it with Noah Hawley's from Fargo and Legion, Doctor Doom movie, the outlet reports that Fox is in developing a Silver Surfer standalone movie, which is being written by none other than Eisner Award-winning writer Brian K. Vaughn. Little else is known about the project at this point. The Silver Surfer previously made its big screen debut in the Fantastic Four sequel released in 2007. There's also a matter of the countless X-Men films that are in development. The Hollywood Reporter notes that while Fox is set to release the 2 X-Men movies this year, they plan on releasing 3 in 2019 and 3 in 2020, which is a lot. Among these are X-Force, Deadpool spinoff, a movie directed by Drew Goddard, who worked on The Cabin in the Woods, which begins shooting this October and recently delayed The New Mutants. The outlet reports that the reasons for the delays in The New Mutants is a round of additional photography that is being prepped, which will add a new character. Who that character will be remains to be seen. The long in development Gambit movie starring Channing Tatum has also been given the green light, which is previously announced for June 7, 2019 release date. Don't bet your bottom dollar on that will ever happen. Finally, there is the just announced X-Men project from comic book writer Brian Michael Bendis and Deadpool director Tim Miller, which is a supernatural film said to focus on Kitty Pryde. Bendis tells the outlet that as far as he is aware, the impending merger does not affect this project in any way, shape, or form. Fox has 4 untitled Fox/Marvel films in their schedule, including November 22nd, 2019, March 13, 2020, June 26, 2020, and October 2nd, 2020, which of these projects will take the release date is unknown.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count on any of those.
Yeah, Gambit's already been pushed back like 45 times.
Right.
But Brian K. Vaughn... This guy, this guy is a creative genius. He did...
Yeah,
he did Saga. He's the creator behind that. He's done numerous other things. I don't
what
remember.
What is the Eisen Award? I don't
know. Eisner?
I don't even fucking do it. I've never even heard of that, bro.
It's a pretty prestigious award, okay?
Oh, yeah, prestigious.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's pretty interesting, like, that he'd be doing Silver Surfer. I don't get it, though. I don't get it. Why are we making movies? Like I love Silver Surfer. He's, like, one of my top five favorite comic book characters. He doesn't need his own movie.
Right.
Like, you can give him his own movie, and it'd be very, like, engaging and, you know, all this stuff. Like, the story of Norrin Rad being plucked pretty much from his planet, and to save his planet, he becomes the Silver Surfer, and he has to go destroy all these other worlds for Galactus, and then, you know, he's conflicted, and blah, 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 blah. Very interesting, very relatable kind of character with a motive, and blah, 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 all that shit. But where do you go from there? How do you interact with other people from there? Like... You can't just have a movie about a guy being conflicted going around, you know, prepping other worlds to be eaten. Like,
why not?
Because he has to interact with other heroes, the Fantastic Four, who, you know, say, you know, you can be a force for good and blah, blah, blah. And,
well, maybe they will.
Maybe.
And maybe the question is, Jordan will join.
The question is, where does that leave us? Because the idea is if, you know, is this their solution to... You know, the Fantastic Four problem is that if they make a Silver Surfer movie, will the rights remain with them for Fantastic Four? Probably, because he's technically a Fantastic Four character. So then Marvel wouldn't get their rights back if it reverts and if the deal doesn't go through. And then Fox, it seems like there's like some kind of corporate chess game going on right now.
Maybe. It is likely the situation, right? I think some people at Fox don't want to be probably merged with Disney. So this is like their backup plan in case like the merger falls through. Because if the merger, because there has been actually reports that the merger might not even happen now.
Right.
With that hanging in the balance, if they don't make any of these films by 2020, then the film rights will just automatically revert back to Marvel. So
right, as far as Fantastic Four goes, because they have X-Men movie coming out this year, that wouldn't happen with X-Men. But
well, yeah,
you know.
But you get the gist.
Yeah, I get it. Oh, I get it. So, but if Brian K. Vaughan does a Silver Surfer movie under the MCU banner, that would be amazing.
sure. Okay.
I mean. I don't know. Maybe I should just go suck Brian K. Vaughan's dick. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Maybe I should. But yeah, that's all the news we have for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed most of it. You know, yeah. Fucking great. Brilliant. So.
Brilliant. Yeah, totally.
Amazing.
But we do have one more piece of news to talk about. What? Shut your face. No, we do have one more piece of news to talk about. The legendary, some unfortunate news. The legendary Kevin Smith had some medical issues this past week. He actually suffered from a heart attack, which he survived. He did not die.
Yes.
Thank God. You know, if you don't know who Kevin Smith is, he's in so much.
He's a legendary director.
Right. He is like a legend among the nerd community. He's done directing. He's done writing. He's best known, honestly, kind of for his role in Silent Bob in Jay and Silent Bob and Clerks and things like that. He's written comic books. He's directed and written episodes of The Flash and Arrow and
Supergirl.
Supergirl as well. He has his own podcast. He's an absolute fucking legend in the game. And I am so glad that he is, well, or, you know, he did not die.
Yeah. I think he was doing like a comedy show or something. When it happened, like he wasn't feeling well and then he was supposed to go back out for a second show and he decided to go to the hospital instead.
Right.
Which if he wouldn't have, he would have died. Is what he was told when he got to the hospital. So thank you for listening to your body, Kevin Smith.
Right.
Very happy you're doing okay. I know you're probably not listening to this because, you know, you have a greater podcast. But anyway.
Such face.
he did actually, I think he tweeted at Mark Hamill too, like saying like, oh, can you get me in one of those Bacta tanks from like Star Wars? It's fucking funny. Okay, guys. Anyway. Yeah. But, yeah. Glad he's doing okay. Glad Stan Lee is doing okay for now as well. He's like 99, dude. He's pretty much 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
So very happy that they're doing good.
You know, I'm not here to tell you guys how to live your lives, but this could be, you know, a wake up call for a lot of us. You know, if you're not taking care of your bodies and things like that, you know, you really should, because, you know, obviously Kevin Smith is very fortunate that he, you know, he decided to listen to his body and he lived through the experience and whatnot. But a lot of people don't get that first warning, or you only get that one warning in life. And
he's only in his 40s too. So,
you know, just you know, maybe at least consider, you know, living a little bit of a healthier lifestyle through, you know, maybe your eating habits or, you know, exercising a little bit more. You know, we all want to live that long, healthy life.
Yeah. And if you guys are listening to this and you're like, man, I just can't find the motivation, or I don't have a workout partner, feel free to reach out to us. We will work out with you. I will come wherever you want to go. We'll run. You know, Scott's really good at putting together exercise plans and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, we're more than happy to help you out.
Yes, ah.
Yeah.
Anywho, I think that's all that we have for y'all this week on Nutty Boys Reviews. But before we leave you, make sure that you guys are following us on all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. Go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. And there is this awesome new app called Vero. It's a new social media. Oh, it's not that new. It's actually been in existence since 2015, but it's
taken off.
It is taken off. I think it has over 2 million users. It is still in its beta process, so be very kind and gentle with it, but it is a very innovative new social media app that you guys can go sign up and follow us on. It is Vero. It's V-E-R-O. And it has a little beta symbol. It is very cool, guys. It's supposed to be, quote-unquote, the new Instagram. There's a lot of cool things you can do for it. And by the way, we are not endorsed by Vero. We are not getting paid to spread the message of Vero at all. We just love to recommend new social media to all of our listeners for more interaction exposure.
Yeah, we actually don't get paid for this at all, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately not.
But that's okay, because we do it for you.
So there's a lot of good things that you guys can do, and it's very, like, dude, I think, like, the UI on Vero is pretty brilliant. I haven't had any problems with it. It's very much like Instagram, but there's a new twist to it. You know, you can upload your pictures and your links and stuff like that, but you can also recommend things to people. You can go, there's a little you just like click the little add button, and then you could put music, movies or TV, books or places, and you can like recommend, not recommend, and
write
you like leave a little review for people on your feed, like people that check out your feeds and stuff. It's really cool. I actually think it's a brilliant little app, and would definitely recommend that you guys go sign up for Vero.
Yeah, and you can tier like who sees it as well. Like there are different categories. Like you have friends, acquaintances, or just followers, and you can decide like if only your friends can see it, or you know, your friends and your acquaintances, or just everyone. So
right,
you know, you have that option. But you know, so it's kind of like if you're like a big personality on like Instagram or something, like you have 20,000 followers, you know, but like you only really have like 20 friends, you can like make sure they see like personal stuff, or if you want to post something for all your followers, you can make sure everyone sees it, kind of. So
right, yeah, and the app is completely free to use. It is in its beta. You know, there has been a couple of reported bugs and stuff, but like I said, if you guys are gamers and stuff, you know the meaning of the word beta. Be patient with it, it'll get better, and I already think it's a brilliant app as it is. So make sure you guys go sign up on Vero and go follow us. It would be awesome.
Please.
So that's all we got for you this week on Nerdy Boys Reviews. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy, boys.